Live from the KNOE studios in Monroe, this is Midday News Talk Sports on AM 540, your News Talk Sports leader for the Arklamas.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Midday News Talk Sports on KNOE AM 540. My name is Brendan Spar, in for Larry Rimes today.
And I'm Brandon Ringo, in for Brendan Spar.
Yes, kind of reversing roles here a little bit here on AM 540. Larry has the day off and I am glad to be in the hot seat today, reversing my role here on Midday. And how you doing, Brandon?
I'm doing all right.
Just all right?
Yeah, well, a little bit better than all right.
Yeah, it's a Monday, and you've got to take the Monday as it's handed to you.
Yeah, plus it's kind of cold outside. But I mean,
it is a little chilly. We've got 36 degrees right here in Monroe, and it doesn't seem like it's going to warm up anytime soon. Checking the weather forecast, looks like the lower 40s is all we're going to get today. But then tonight, look for lows in the lower 20s. So it's going to be a chilly night. You better bring all those plants, the pets, the everybody inside. Just keep everything indoors tonight. Don't go outside. It's going to be a cold one. Very chilly across the areas tonight. And then tomorrow, we're going to be in the same situation. Mostly sunny tomorrow and highs in the mid-40s. And why can't I hear myself? Okay, there we go. Yes. All right, weather-wise, people in much of the eastern half of the country are bundling up today. Temperatures are dropping thanks to the Arctic air. There we go. Now I've got audio in my headphones. Temperatures are dropping all around the U.S. thanks to the Arctic air that's pushing southward to the Gulf Coast. In northern Minnesota, temperatures are nearing an all-time low. It's gone as low as 54 degrees below zero in Minnesota. Wow, that's cold. One town clerk says it gets cold after a while. Yeah, that's an understatement.
Wow.
Yeah, in parts of Alabama, Mississippi, and Florida, it was as cold as 28 degrees this morning with wind chills in the upper teens, and forecasters say there's a freeze warning in parts of Mississippi through tomorrow morning. So the entire United States, it seems, from the East Coast all the way into our area, is feeling the cold. Very cold. So what did you do over the weekend, Brandon? Anything exciting?
Well, nothing really. Just kind of, you know, hanging out, basically watching Family Guy as usual.
Okay. I'm told that you're now going by a new nickname, Crankbait.
Yeah.
What's that all about? What's this crankbait
at
business?
At Bassmaster University this morning, or you know, this weekend, me and Randy were just browsing the merch table and we were trying to find a nickname because there's people like Butch Cold Steel Mason and Missouri Joe and just all kinds of different, Bruiser Bob, just all kinds of different, you know, nicknames. And I was kind of hoping that Bruiser would be my nickname. And apparently Randy thought Crankbait would be better. So,
yeah. So all these guys selling the merchandise for the Bassmaster University had these hardcore nicknames. They were tough. Cold Steel and Bruiser, but they're fishermen.
Yeah.
Why would a fisherman need such a hardcore heavy name?
That's what I'm wondering.
Interesting. Did you happen to catch the Golden Globes last night?
Not really.
Actually. You're not big into award shows, I take it.
I saw some of the after stuff, but I mean, nothing, not the actual show itself.
You didn't watch the runway with the red carpet and Joan Rivers saying, I can't believe she's wearing that,
No, I was watching
my best Joan Rivers impersonation.
I was watching the Colts and Patriots.
Okay. Well, I didn't watch either, but I have the story here on who took home Golden Globes. I understand there wasn't a host, and I just can't get over an awards ceremony that doesn't have a host. Somebody's got to keep the order.
Yeah, they should have gone with someone like William Shatner. That's who I would have chosen.
I could think of 100 different people besides William Shatner. Well, and next up on the awards ceremony, we've got Jamie Foxx.
Exactly. That's what makes it interesting.
Right. Well, Jamie Foxx, he actually did take home a Golden Globe. He won the Golden Globe last night for his role as Ray Charles in that movie Ray. He told the crowd, and it was a very emotional acceptance speech. He told the crowd that he wishes that he could put what he's feeling into the water system so we could all love each other a whole lot more. And he dedicated it to his grandmother, I believe, who passed away, and said he feels that someone from above is watching over him. So it was a very emotional acceptance speech, and I think he was trying to get the nod for some, from some of the Oscar voters, some of the people that are voting for the Academy Awards.
Yeah, I have a feeling that was it too. But that I actually, that was actually a pretty good movie, though.
Yeah, Ray, very good.
If you like Ray Charles.
And it was shot in New Orleans, parts of it.
That was the cool part about it.
Another movie that racked up big at the Golden Globes was The Aviator. It earned Best Picture. Leonardo DiCaprio of The Aviator boosted his Oscar odds by winning the dramatic acting role. Benning won for Sideways. No, Benning won for Best Actress in a Movie or Musical Comedy, while Clint Eastwood took the directing honor for Million Dollar Baby, which I'm told is going to do really well at the Oscars as well.
Million Dollar Baby.
Mm-hmm. That's about the girl who, it's got Hilary Swank in it, and that's about all I know about it.
Wow. Clint Eastwood goes from Fistful of Dollars and The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly to Million Dollar Baby.
Yeah, it's supposed to be she's an athlete, and I didn't do my homework on that movie. But it's supposed to be really good and do really well, an emotional movie, and do really well at the Oscars. Now, Hilary Swank did win Best Dramatic Actress. This movie hasn't even come out yet. And Clint Eastwood wins Best Director, and Hilary Swank wins Best Dramatic Actress. The movie hasn't even come out yet.
See, I don't even think The Aviator's come out yet.
And yeah, The Aviator's out.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Well, see, then I noticed that another movie that's probably going to get some Oscars is Phantom of the Opera, and I don't think that's out yet either.
Hmm.
So, it's kind of, you know. And plus, I mean, those are movies that you wouldn't expect like would get something like that because they're not all that popular. So,
yeah. Now, that was just movies. This Golden Globe is interesting because they honor both film and television. Now, Desperate Housewives took home a couple of awards last night, which really surprised me that after all the controversy surrounding the Monday Night Football controversy with the Desperate Housewives, the critics still liked the show. It won for Best Musical or Comedy Series, while Terry Hatcher beat two of her co-stars for Best Actress in a TV Comedy. Hatcher told the crowd ABC took a chance on her and revived her flattering career.
I kind of figured I kind of figured it was going to do pretty good, though, because, I mean, it's kind of supposed to be the new Sex and the City or something like that. So.
I think that's what they were going for, with Sex and the City departing from HBO. The networks needed something to take its place, and you're not going to get a show like Sex and the City on one of the big three. Yeah. It's just not going to happen.
I also kind of, I heard that The Sopranos got some awards, too, actually.
Let me see. I don't have any information on The Sopranos, I don't think. Let's see. No, I don't. I've got The Life and Death of Peter Sellers on HBO, one for Best TV Miniseries, the HBO series Deadwood took home the Best Actor for a Drama, Ian McShane. But I don't have anything on The Sopranos. Great series. It needs to come back with new episodes, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else won? You've got Jason Bateman of Arrested Development honored as Best Actor in a Comedy Series, and you've got Ian McShane for Deadwood, and Star Trek alumni William Shatner took home.
Him.
Yeah, who should have hosted. He took home the award for Boston Legal.
There you go.
Incredible. Golden Globes last night. And at the box office, speaking of film, Samuel L. Jackson led the team as Coach Carter last weekend. His portrayal of a real-life high school basketball coach and mentor opened up at number one. The film took in just over $23.5 million in its debut weekend. And for the last time in broadcast media, we may be able to say, Meet the Fockers dropped to the second place after 3 weeks on top. You'll never be able to say that again in broadcasting. I'm going to say it one more time. Meet the Fockers dropped to second after 3 weeks on top. The family comedy Racing Stripes opened at number three, and Dennis Quaid's corporate comic In Good Company was fourth this weekend. And Jennifer Garner's action picture Elektra, as everybody knew, would open up at number five. Nobody really saw. She was dead in Daredevil, and all of a sudden she's alive again.
Well, actually, I'm actually kind of planning on going to see Elektra because, you know,
you just want to see it for Jennifer Garner.
Well, I mean, you're right. But, I mean, still, it should be a pretty good movie, though, because, I mean...
Go see The Aviator. Go see Coach Carter. Go see a good movie. Don't go see Elektra.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping to see Meet the Fockers, actually. I think I'm going to go see that eventually.
Yeah, you said it again. I thought we were going to drop that.
Sorry.
Yeah, do you watch reality shows? Seems everybody's got one these days.
No.
Well, what about Farrah Fawcett? Would you watch a reality show starring Farrah Fawcett?
No.
Yeah. Well, for years, people have been asking her to do a reality show, which I'm not too sure that's true.
Why?
She's finally agreed to it, though. Cameras are following around as she shops, does her painting, goes to celebrity events, and plays at the beach. We'll see her on the water's edge with Ryan O'Neal. Hmm. Fawcett says the show will either dispel people's misconceptions or it will validate their perceptions about her.
Or no one will watch it.
The show is called Chasing Farrah, and it starts March 23rd on TV Land.
Wow, that is the hot spot for reality TV.
I think they're trying to say something with it being on TV Land. It's already been canceled. All right, Wayne Newton has got a reality show coming out as well. He's going to judge talent. He's the one and only judge on The Entertainer, a new talent search to find the next Las Vegas all-around entertainer. Now, the winner for this show gets a contract to headline at the Las Vegas Hilton. Newton says that he's really not Simon at all, and you can be difficult on them as long as it's not crushing to them, and as long as you're telling them it's meant in a way that's not mean-spirited. The Entertainer starts Sunday on E!
But what's the fun in it?
Yeah, I mean, that's what people watch for. We want to see it. We want to see Simon scowl at him. Another thing that happened over the weekend was that Tsunami Aid concert, that big deal on NBC. All the NBC networks aired the Tsunami benefit. Did you happen to watch that?
No.
Okay. Well, NBC is still tallying the money from the benefit concert that took place on Saturday. A network spokesman said it would take 2 days to figure out how much money was raised for the American Red Cross International Response Fund. Madonna, Elton John, Brian Wilson, Lenny Kravitz, Diana Ross, John Mayer, Nelly, Eric Clapton, Roger Waters, and Gloria Estefan were among the musicians who performed.
Roger Waters?
Roger Waters.
Really?
Yeah. That's what it says.
Huh.
And
interesting.
You should have watched it because a word slipped onto broadcast during the Tsunami Aid benefit. An NBC spokeswoman says that the network wasn't quick enough to catch John Mayer's swear word on Saturday's Tsunami benefit. Even with the 5-second delay, they could not catch John Mayer slipping his tongue.
Wow. You got, you know, Motley Crue and then John Mayer.
Well, this is a benefit concert, too. What are you doing swearing at a benefit concert? Mayer let loose an expletive as he was backing away from the microphone during a guitar solo on the song Bold as Love. Even though a 5-second delay was in place, the word made it onto air, with the audio cutting out briefly after that. So apparently they were kind of late. They heard it and said, oh, no, and pressed the button a couple seconds too late. Delayed reaction there, NBC. She says the people have been too slow on the button to remove it. So they got to tighten up on that. And if you're looking for another benefit concert, you might have missed that one or it didn't have any performers that you want to see. Maybe you like country music and you want to see another benefit. Next Sunday in Grand Prairie, Texas, Pat Green, Jack Ingram, and Jerry Jeff Walker will join in a special acoustic concert to raise money for tsunami victims. The idea began with a conversation between Green and Ingram and their desire to do something to contribute to the relief. They made a quick call to a friend, and immediately Jerry Jeff Walker was the friend, and he agreed to participate. Only 2,000 tickets are going to be sold. That's Grand Prairie. That is like 4 hours away from here if you want to go. And donations are going to be given on behalf of the Texas musicians. So go and check that out. That should be pretty cool. Nice benefit concert going on over there. One last thing I wanted to mention here, quick entertainment news. We've been following the story a little bit. The tragic death of Daryl Abbott in the nightclub now in Columbus, Ohio. Now, people who witnessed the shooting of former Pantera guitarist Daryl Abbott and three others are recalling that tragic night now. They say that the officer who shot the gunman said that he had to do it. He had to do it. Officer James Negemeyer has not publicly commented on this shooting, the shooting death of Nathan Gale, who opened fire in that nightclub. Now, another policeman at the scene, Ricky Crum, tells the Columbus Dispatch that he believes that Gale was prepared to shoot at officers when Negemeyer fired one blast from a shotgun and killed Gale. Crum says that some bystanders later cursed at Gale and kicked his body, and they had to be ordered out of the club. The manager of the club, Rick Cotella, tells the last view he had of the drummer Vinnie Paul, which is Daryl's brother, was that Paul was wrapped in a blanket clutching Daryl's guitar. And that was the last moments there in that nightclub. And I'm told that the gunman didn't actually say anything as he stepped on stage and opened fire. That's a common misconception. People think that the gunman actually was bitter that that Daryl Abbott broke up Pantera and that Phil was involved, the former lead singer of Pantera. So that was all conspiracies. Apparently the guy just went nuts, went crazy, and opened fire. So continue to follow that story. And when that guy goes to trial, I don't know. That's just very tragic to see such a great guitarist slain in the middle of his life.
Yeah, that's pretty sad.
Well, that being said, let's go ahead and check your weather forecast. Today, look for mostly sunny skies, highs in the lower 40s. Tonight, mostly clear, lows in the lower 20s. Then on Tuesday, mostly sunny, highs in the mid 40s, and looking like the same weather pattern on into the weekend. 40s during the day, 20s at night. It's 36 degrees right here at KNOE. And coming up, we'll check in with your local and national news. And this is Midday News Talk Sports on AM 540. We'll be back in a minute.
You can be a part of Midday News Talk Sports. Our email address is am540@knoe.com or call 387-KNOE. That's 387-5663. More Midday in a moment.
It's our year-end sales event at Hicks and Autoplex BMW in Monroe. This means sensational savings on every new BMW in stock. No matter what you're looking for in a luxury performance BMW, Hickson has it. Pay just $279 a month on new 05 BMW 325i's or pay just $399 a month on new 05 BMW X3 2.5i's and pay just $479 a month on new 05 BMW 525i's. So come experience the ultimate driving machine during our year-end sales event at Hickson Autoplex BMW, 1201 Louisville Avenue in Monroe. All leases, MSRP, and residual cost will be disclosed. $2,500 down plus first payment security deposit all due at signing. Plus TTNL, 20 cents per mile overage. See dealer for details on select models.
Disturbing, yeah. The same old talk radio, not on your life. This is Michael Savage, and I want you to be a part of the most important radio program in America today. What do I talk about? Borders, language, culture, the hard facts. I talk about the things our leaders in the country are doing that they don't want you to know about. I talk about reality on the Michael Savage program. Tuning in will be the single most important decision you make.
Join Michael Savage live Monday through Friday from 6 until 9 p.m. on KNOE AM 540, your news talk sports leader for the Arklamas.
To Midday News Talk Sports here on AM 540. My name is Brendan Spar, and I'm filling in for Larry Rimes today. Larry will be back with you tomorrow. Let's check in with the local news now here on AM 540. Over the weekend, it was a quietly jubilant Wilbert Rideau, and he savored his new freedom Sunday in Baton Rouge after nearly 44 years behind bars. 62-year-old Rideau slowly took in the world that he left behind when John Kennedy was president and when whites-only signs hung in his native South. In one of his first interviews since the surprise verdict at Freedom, Rideau says that he's still trying to wrap his mind around his freedom and the changes. Wow. 44 years behind bars. Convicted by all three white juries of murdering a white bank teller in 1961. He walked free late Saturday after a racially mixed jury found him guilty of the lesser crime of manslaughter. He emerged as an award-winning journalist and commentator on inmate life, credentials acquired through decades in one of the nation's roughest prisons. Prosecutors barred that identity from the intense week-long trial. Governor Kathleen Blanco talked to reporters about the Rideau verdict.
Well, certainly we have to respect the decision of this judge and jury. The judicial system has spoken. I know that the victim's family is very sensitive to the situation.
And this news just breaking, actually. A 140-year-old retailer in Ruston is set to close in March. And this is just amazing news to me. The city of Ruston is losing a downtown clothing store that's been in business for 140 years. Lewis & Company will close in March. The Lewis family made the announcement today. Richard Lewis is vice president of the company, and he says that changes in the retail market have made it difficult for independent stores to compete with the national chains and regional shopping centers. The company was founded in Trenton on the banks of the Washita River in 1865 as the Kidd Lewis General Mercantile Company. Its founders changed the name to Lewis & Company in 1884. In the beginning, it was a general merchandise store and played a key role in the early growth of Northeast Louisiana by providing provisions for settlers. Until it closes, Lewis & Company Limited remains the oldest continuously operating family-owned retail business in Louisiana. 140 years, and Lewis & Company often sponsors or pays for advertising on KNOE FM 102, our sister station, so we wish the Lewis family the best of luck in whatever they pursue from here on out, and really shame to lose such a landmark there in Ruston, right there in the square. Oh, wow. All right. Speaking of Ruston, Ruston police say that the president of a Louisiana Tech fraternity has been given a criminal summons for allegedly hazing a sophomore pledge, the son of Bossier Parish police juror. Yeah, you don't want to haze the son of a police juror. Sergeant Curtis Hawkins says the summons accuses Clayton Fleury of Shreveport and other Kappa Alpha members of making pledges to strip to their boxer shorts outside in 34-degree weather and then spraying them with cold water. Wow. Police investigated after James Andy Cummings, son of police juror Brad Cummings, filed a complaint about the December 1st incident at the off-campus fraternity house. He said that some Kappa Alpha members were upset with him because he had failed to show up with other pledges to clean the off-campus fraternity house. Louisiana Tech officials have said that the Ruston school had not had a documented case of hazing since 2002. The fraternity's advisors has said Kappa Alpha does not condone hazing and has been named the school's most outstanding fraternity for the past 3 years. Fleury's preliminary court date is February 16th. The university and the fraternity's national office are also conducting separate investigations. No additional arrests are expected. Interesting news out of Mississippi. The U.S. Coast Guard says that the Cajun Queen riverboat and a ferry bumped into each other while docking today, but nobody was injured. Kyle Nemi, a Coast Guard spokesman, says that the ferry, which carries people back and forth from Algiers Point to the French Quarter and the Cajun Queen, collided at about 2 p.m. on the French Quarter side of the Mississippi River. Nemi says that the Cajun Queen, a replica of the 19th century riverboat, sustained minor damage on its port side. The Coast Guard tested each vessel master for drug and alcohol use, and results are pending. Meanwhile, it was a busy weekend throughout Union County, where residents are still removing debris after deadly tornadoes ripped through the area last week. Crews are cleaning up for thousands of trees that were destroyed after the F3 funnel cloud ravaged the area. Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee has declared the area a disaster so that those who lost their homes will get some state-funded financial aid. The search for more avalanche victims resumes this morning near Park City, Utah. One body, a man from Idaho, was dug out of the snow yesterday. The Summit County Sheriff says that searchers discovered sweatshirts and gloves that didn't belong to the man. Several eyewitnesses claim that they saw numerous people buried in last week's snowslide about 20 miles east of Salt Lake City. Police have removed about 40 names from the potential victims list. Searchers have been probing the snow with 30-foot-long poles. Wow. Lots of bad weather going on around the country. But back here at home, the West Monroe High School band boarded buses headed to Washington, D.C. yesterday afternoon, eager to perform at President Bush's inauguration ceremony on Thursday. TV8's Sarah Zama caught up with one of the band's trombone players as he prepares to march into history.
When West Monroe High School junior Jason Cameron was told he would be toting his trombone to the nation's capital, it was like music to his ears.
We weren't sure what they were calling us together for, and then they announced it, and you know, just the whole place went crazy. I mean, we were so excited, we really didn't even know what to think.
The band is one of 10 in the country selected to drum up excitement at President Bush's inauguration this week. Quite a different tune from the usual Friday night halftime football show.
I don't think anything has compared or ever will compare to what we're about to do.
While proud parents looked on, the 200-member rebel band boarded 5 buses ready to march right into a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. A chance band director Robert Freeman says his students have well earned.
To be selected for an honor like this is, of course, it feels great, but I feel that these kids deserve it. They deserve the recognition that they're getting for this.
We'll have a lot of fun. We might get a little sleep here and there, but it'll be a lot of fun.
A lot of fun that's sure to leave an unforgettable melody in the minds of Jason and his bandmates. In West Monroe, Sarah Lazama, TV8 News.
The West Monroe High School Rebel Band raised $125,000 in just 22 days with help from the community. They put on a lot of good fundraisers to fund that trip, and I'm glad that they got to go. Be looking forward to seeing them on Thursday. And speaking of the inauguration, several thousand members of the armed forces participated in an inaugural dress rehearsal through the streets of the Capitol Sunday, complete with stand-ins for the president and vice president. All right. Participants marched along the parade route from the U.S. Capitol to the White House, where an enclosed stand for special guests has been erected. Security for the rehearsal was not nearly as restrictive as it will be for Thursday's parade. The U.S. Secret Service plans to close up more than 100 city blocks to traffic between the Capitol and the White House beginning on Wednesday. And if you're wondering what President Bush will be driving down the street to welcome in his new term, it's actually going to be a brand new Cadillac DTS limousine. It's going to be beginning its first term of service to the nation's chief executive. It's also going to be the first peek at the latest addition to the Cadillac lineup. The DTS sedan, planned for more common citizens, will make its debut at the Chicago Auto Show in early February and goes on sale this summer. It's going to replace the DeVille. Now, this presidential limousine is equipped with a concealed fold-away desktop, 10-disc CD changer, which begs the question, what does the President of the United States listen to on his CD changer?
I was just wondering that.
Yeah.
You wondered if he might have a little, you know, R&B and hip-hop, or maybe some Britney Spears, maybe?
Maybe mixes it up, you know?
Yeah, maybe he could have, like, mixes that he makes.
He's from Texas, so maybe he's got some good country music out there, country western.
Yeah, maybe he likes Lynyrd Skynyrd.
And if he gets tired, he's got automatic reclining rear seats. Cadillac has a long tradition as the ride of choice for U.S. presidents, extending back as far as Woodrow Wilson. The 1993 Cadillac Fleetwood that ferried former President Bill Clinton can be seen at the Clinton Presidential Center in Little Rock, Arkansas. The new DTS limousine will replace Bush's current ride, a 2001 Cadillac DeVille. So if you want to go see a presidential limousine, you can go up to Little Rock and check out Clinton's. But I think Bush's is a little hotter. A little nicer. Well, the time right now is 1:34. Check your weather forecast real quick for you. Today, look for highs in the lower 40s. Then tonight, mostly clear, lows in the lower 20s. Then on Tuesday, we're back up into the mid 40s, and we're going to have that same weather pattern throughout the rest of the week. It's 36 right here at AM 540. Coming back in just a second, we'll check out with Shelley Tomlinson and All Things Southern. It's next.
Stay tuned. There's more Midday News Talk Sports coming up.
Coming January 28th, 29th, and 30th to the Monroe Civic Center, a show the entire family can enjoy. Friday, 3 to 7, meet your favorite superheroes like Batman, Scooby-Doo, and yes,
Spider-Man.
And a special appearance by Bart Simpson. Saturday, 10 to 3, it's our favorite Stone Age family, the Flintstones. Fred, Wilma, Barney, Betty, Pebbles, Bam Bam, and a special appearance by Clifford. Interact with a tent full of crazy critters. Gaze at a 5,000-gallon aquarium full of fish sponsored by International Paper. And there will be toys for the big boys all day Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Guns, knives, rods, reels, lures, water toys, ATVs, scuba equipment, campers, boats, hundreds of boats, fishing boats, ski boats, pleasure craft, aluminum, and fiberglass boats. It's great family fun. The 17th annual KNOE Boat and Outdoor Show plus the Old American Gun and Knife Show. Two shows for the price of one, January 28th, 29th, and 30th at the Monroe Civic Center. It's Louisiana's largest boat and outdoor show, the 17th annual KNOE Boat and Outdoor Show.
Welcome to All Things Southern, bringing you the charm and heritage of the South. Now here's your host, Shelley Tomlinson.
Hello, folks. Let's chat. A while back, I stumbled upon something I affectionately called MSS, male speaker syndrome, an affliction causing our men to break out in sweat when they have to order from drive-up windows. Honestly, I had no idea how far-reaching the problem was. If my feedback's any indication, I'm afraid we're talking epidemic proportions. At the time, I was convinced MSS was caused by the male's inability to listen to two voices at one time. As evidence mounts, I've become aware the problem is even bigger. Guys, it's not so much that you can't hear. It's more like you're not paying attention. Exhibit A. I was in a home improvement store recently when I overheard a conversation between two men. One of them was supposed to purchase a load of 2-inch wood plantation blinds for his wife. I listened as they discovered the store was out of 2-inch wood plantation blinds and cringed as they discussed the wisdom of bringing the wife 1-inch metal blinds instead. I was trying to stay out of it, really I was, but one of them got cold feet and asked for my opinion. "Ma'am, I don't know who you are, but you owe me." The second incident occurred at Walmart over the holidays. A man and his little daughter were out on a mission to buy an artificial Christmas tree with tiny white lights. The daddy was leaning toward purchasing a multicolored fiber optic revolving tree. I wasn't needed there. As I pushed my cart off, I left the dad in the capable young hands of a miniature female who warned, "Mama's not gonna be happy." We all want the same thing, happy Venusians and happy Martians. So work with me, fellas. Let's say tomorrow's the first day of hunting season, and you sent the wife after some shotgun shells, but they were out, so she brought you a box of BBs. Can you hear me now?
You're listening to All Things Southern. You can find today's Porch Chat, Shelley's other weekly features, entertaining archives, and more at www.allthingssouthern.com. Drop by and leave Shelley a note on the porch. Her address is tomtom@allthingssouthern.com. And now here's Shelley with today's letter from Boo Robinson in Bastrop, Louisiana.
Hi, Shelley. We Southerners have arrived, darling. I heard on the radio yesterday that the word y'all was accepted all over the country now, not just the South. I hope this doesn't mean we're losing our uniqueness. You know, it may be used all over, but they still can't pronounce it like we do. Hey, Boo, I can guarantee you they don't say it right. For one thing, they continue to use it as a singular pronoun, as in, "Hi, Boo, y'all looking nice today." Now, how silly does that sound? Let them try to mimic us, sweetie. We'll still be able to spot them for a country mile. Thanks for sharing. The rest of y'all take care and come see me. That's allthingssouthern.com. And this is Shelley with Hugs for All.
Well, thank you, Shelley. 1:39 here at AM 540. It's sports time. Now let's check in with KNOE sports team to see what's happened over the weekend in sports in this area.
The ULM Indians find themselves puzzled and asking several questions after another disappointing loss, this time at the hands of Texas State. The 71-67 defeat put the Indians at 0-4 in conference play for the first time ever in the history of the program, and once again keep Coach Mike Vining from claiming the elusive 400th victory. It took the Bobcats the entire game to grab a lead. Anthony Dill will drive down low for a basket with 43 seconds left to claim a 2-point lead. Cecil Hood had a chance to tie the game, but he split the two shots from the charity stripe, and the Bobcats proceeded to sink two from the stripe to seal the deal. And though the boys want to give Coach Vining win number 400, Coach thinks that there's another problem that needs to be remedied immediately.
We got to get our head up. We can't just sit around with our head down and feel sorry for ourselves. Everybody else is glad we're in the position we're in. We've got to go on the road and try to salvage something right now. But we can't just worry about what has happened in the past. We've got to fight to overcome it. We know what's happened. We can't live with it. We've got to overcome it.
Over in Hawaii on Saturday night or Sunday morning, whichever one you want to choose, Louisiana Tech Bulldogs took on the Rainbow Warriors. The Dogs picked up a huge win, 61-59. Over the Warriors, Donnell Alec had a great night. He led Tech with 22 points, while Corey Dean racked up 13. The Dogs improved to 7-8, 2-4 in WAC play. They return home on Saturday for a contest with the Mustangs of SMU. Lots of NFL action yesterday. We head to Philly for the Eagles and the Vikings. Donovan McNabb rolling to the near side. He finds Freddie Mitchell for the 2-yard touchdown. T.O., he's loving it, baby. Philly takes an early 7-0 lead. We're still in the second. It's 14-7. McNabb connects with L.J. Smith. Smith hit and fumbles into the end zone, into the waiting arms of Mitchell. I tell you, man, when you're in the right place at the right time, things are just going your way. Take another look at that wacky play. He's credited with a fumble recovery for the touchdown. The lead was 21-7. We moved to the second half. The Eagles' defense took over. Dante Culpepper intercepted by Jeremiah Trotter. It was Culpepper's second pick on the day. It set the Eagles up. But then on the next Vikings possession, 3rd and 10, Brian Dawkins comes in on the blitz, gets Culpepper for the sack. Eagles advance to their fourth straight NFC title game. The final score was 27-14. Meanwhile, in Foxborough, Peyton Manning and the Colts and take on Tom Brady and the Patriots, a rematch of last year's AFC title game. New England driving. It's 3rd and 2. Brady finds Patrick Pass in the flat. Pass gets outside for the first down, and then some. He gets knocked out of bounds at the Colts 24. They're looking to punch it in. 5 plays later, the Patriots strike. 3rd and goal. Brady moves forward, hits David Givens in the end zone for the 5-yard score. They were up 13-3. We move to the 4th quarter. Same score now. More Patriots. 3rd and 8. Corey Dillon. He's going to go up the middle after breaking a couple tackles. And he bounces outside and heads for the end zone, but he's forced out at the 1-yard line. Brady ran it in on the next play for the Pats' touchdown. Dillon had 144 yards rushing on the day. They were up 20-3. That's how it ended. The Pats move on. Once again, the final was 20-3. So here's how it shapes up for next week. The early game has the Falcons heading to Philly for the NFC Championship. The Eagles hope that the 4th time is a charm when it comes to a trip to the Big Show. And right here on TV8 next Sunday at 5:30, the AFC Championship pits the defending Super Bowl champions against probably the hottest team in football, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, of course, the winners of those games head to Jacksonville, Florida for the big one, Super Bowl 39. It kicks off on February 6th. That's a look at sports. Have a great week.
All right. Can't wait for that Super Bowl. Farm time now is 1:43. Let's check out. The prices for area crops leave much to be desired. LSU Ag Center's Toby Blanchard discusses the problem with 2 LSU Ag Center economists.
Mother Nature dealt a harsh blow to Louisiana farmers in 2004, a situation they hope is not repeated this year.
All the commodities had a very difficult year in terms of both production and price. And it's kind of strange because we really started off the year with very good prospects.
Corn and soybeans looked especially promising, with positive prices and production possibilities. But heavy rains in late spring and early summer changed these prospects. A record corn crop and abundant soybeans across the U.S. drove down prices, leaving a dismal outlook for growers. Rice acreage was up from recent years, and while prices were relatively steady, yields dropped.
That acreage was up because prices were increasing over 2003. However, because of the weather, our yield was down about 300 or 400 pounds per acre.
Sugarcane's weather-related problems date back to storms in 2002, and this year's weather didn't help. But cotton fared better than most crops.
I think for cotton, the dry, drought-type situation that we had was really a benefit for them in terms of yields, and maybe didn't escape some of the yield loss that some of our other commodities did.
The outlook for 2005 is not overly optimistic. Prices for most crops are down this year compared to a year ago. This year, soybean growers have to contend with the threat of soybean rust, and that could cause a slight shift in acreage.
We may get a little boost in corn acres because producers may be a little bit scared of soybean rust and that impact on the soybean industry.
This is Toby Blanchard reporting.
Well, thank you, Toby Blanchard, reporting for the LSU Ag Center. Let's check out your weather forecast for the rest of the day. Look for highs in the lower 40s. Tonight, mostly clear with lows in the lower 20s. Then on Tuesday, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-40s, and it's going to be just about the same thing. Upper 20s in the morning for your lows, and mid-40s in the afternoon for your highs, until probably the weekend when we're going to warm up around 60 for Thursday. So check that out. That should be pretty cool. Coming back in just a minute, we will check in with the latest from Iraq here on AM 540 Midday News Talk Sports.
You can be a part of Midday News Talk Sports. Our email address is am540@knoe.com or call 387-KNOE. That's 387-5663. More Midday in a moment.
If you can't watch the TV8 5 o'clock report or the CBS Evening News, tune in to KNOE AM 540 Monday through Friday starting at 5 p.m. for the latest news, weather, and sports. The TV8 5 o'clock report with Bonnie Van, Neil Shaw, and Aaron Dietrich. The CBS Evening News with Dan Rather right here on KNOE AM 540. Your news talk sports leader for the Arklamas. More news, breaking news on KNOE AM 540.
With FightBack.com, I'm David Horowitz. A dozen or so airports across the United States have instituted what is called cell phone parking lots. They are nearby lots available within minutes of the airport arrival gate. Friends and family picking up arriving passengers can park at them for free and wait for the "I've landed" call from the traveler. So far, the idea is a hit. Airport managers say that the lots reduce congestion of circling motorists trying to find arrival pickups. That slow, erratic driving and illegal parking of drivers trying to hang back to time their pull-up to a passenger's appearance on the curb has been a source of concern about safety as well as efficiency of traffic flow. The new convenience slots are now in use in the Los Angeles International, Seattle Tacoma, and at least 11 other airports. The Airports Council International of North America expects more airports with availability and convenience space to try the system this year. David Horowitz, FightBack.com.
Don't let the recent news about your arthritis medicine stop you from treating your arthritis pain. Talk to your doctor. No pain reliever has been proven safer than Tylenol when used as directed. That's one reason why arthritis experts recommend the medicine in Tylenol Arthritis Pain Relief as a first choice. For all-day relief without a prescription, ask your doctor about Tylenol. Stop. Think. Tylenol.
Tylenol arthritis pain lasts up to 8 hours. Use as directed.
One in four adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricidin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricidin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medications specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricidin HBP. Use as directed.
Welcome back to Midday News Talk Sports on AM 540. The time is 1:49, and voter registration is underway worldwide for the upcoming election in Iraq. As a consequence, insurgents have stepped up their violent attacks using terror to keep potential voters away from the ballot box. Susan Roberts has the latest.
It is scenes like this one in Mosul that have U.S. and Iraqi officials scrambling to recruit new police and poll workers before Election Day. Iraq's third largest city has reemerged as a major insurgent flashpoint, raising fears it won't be safe for voting January 30th. U.S. troops launched a series of raids in Mosul and in other trouble spots to try and curb the violence. Despite daily attacks aimed at candidates, polling places, and Iraqi security forces, there are no plans to postpone the vote.
If we delay the election even for 1 week, I can tell you, it may well trigger a civil war in this country.
Iraq's interim prime minister pressed ahead with his campaign, making a stop at Baghdad University. Iyad Alawi reminded students his government has allocated $100 million for scholarships and study abroad. For Iraqis living abroad, the push to get them to the polls shifts into high gear today. Because of its early time zone, Australia became the first of 14 nations to sign up Iraqi voters. Five U.S. cities hosting registration and polling centers will do the same today. About 90,000 Iraqis live in the U.S. For some, getting to the ballot box means traveling hundreds of miles, so observers are not sure how many will actually vote.
In all, more than 1 million Iraqis live outside the country. They have 1 week to register to vote, then a three-day window at the end of the month to cast their ballots. Susan Roberts, CBS News, Washington.
And today is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, the day that we honor and remember the civil rights activists. And the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. made a trip to Monroe in 1965 as he traveled the country spreading the message of justice and tolerance. I didn't know he actually ended up in Monroe. That's pretty cool. But he never gave his planned speech at Monroe's First Missionary Baptist Church. The story is, before King could get off the plane, a group of Monroe's black leaders convinced him that his help was not needed. The black leaders felt that they and then-Mayor W.L. Howard had made progress towards integrating the city. Some felt King's presence would have hindered the process or caused an uproar, but others remember being deeply disappointed that he decided against giving his speech. And events honoring the legacy of Martin Luther King continue across the country. Thousands of people attended a parade down Martin Luther King Drive in San Antonio, Texas. 45,000 volunteers showed up in Philadelphia for the 10th annual Day of Service. It includes hundreds of community projects, such as renovating schools and churches and packing goodies for American troops overseas. This afternoon, there's a rally and march through downtown Atlanta, where King preached from 1960 until his assassination in 1968. And in Washington, President Bush will attend a Martin Luther King event at the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts. All right, time now is 1:52. We'll be back in just a minute to wrap things up here on Midday News Talk Sports on AM 540 KNOE. But before we go, let's check out your weather forecast. For the rest of the day, lower 40s are what to expect. Tonight, mostly clear, lows in the lower 20s. Then on Tuesday, highs in the mid-40s. We're going to warm up around 60, though, on Wednesday. So warming pattern is on the way, so don't pack up the summer clothes quite yet. It's 36 right here at KNOE, and we'll be back to wrap things up in just a minute here on Midday.
Stay tuned. There's more Midday News Talk Sports coming up.
If you have more than $7,500 in credit card debt, listen to these shocking facts. Debt can ruin your life. A great number of all marriages end in divorce due to financial problems. Many American families are only a few paychecks away from bankruptcy. There are secret programs that credit card companies don't want you to know about that will eliminate your debt. If you are drowning in credit card debt, there is a way out. Debt Relief of America can negotiate directly with your creditors to eliminate up to 75% of your credit card debt. Learn how to avoid bankruptcy and get more cash in your pocket. A DRA client's debt was recently reduced by over $26,000 on just one of their credit cards. Call Debt Relief of America for a free debt analysis by one of our debt relief specialists. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. For your free information, call now. 800-701-0512. That's 800-701-0512. Call toll free. 800-701-0512.
Welcome back to Midday News Talk Sports here on AM 540. My name is Brendan Spar. I've been filling in for Larry Rimes today. Larry will be back with you tomorrow. He's got the day off, and he's probably out spending some of his Ben Franklin's in honor of Ben Franklin's 300th birthday. Ben Franklin was born 299 years ago today, and the 300th celebration is ready to begin. Franklin is the first of the nation's founding fathers to hit the 300 mark. How about that? And an international traveling exhibit of his life will debut in Philadelphia later this year. An exhibition will feature the priceless artifacts like the odometer Franklin invented and his signed copy of the Treaty of Paris. Wow. The exhibit's chief curator says The aim is to celebrate Franklin around the world while also debunking some of the popular myths, like one that says he fathered several illegitimate children. 300 years old for Ben Franklin. How about that? And an Australian beach is trying to ban cell phone cameras. Those easy-to-hide cameras and cell phones have gotten the attention of the Australian authorities, who say some users have been taking in too much of the beachside scenery. And I think you know what I'm talking about, Brandon.
Yeah.
Yeah, while they're proud of the beautiful beaches, Australian officials are considering drawing a line in the sand when it comes to the privacy of their visitors, especially those scantily clad ones. It began after a man was fined for secretly taking pictures with his cell phone of a woman sunbathing. Another man will face court hearings after allegedly being caught at the same beach with 75 images on his cell phone.
Wow!
I didn't know a cell phone could hold that much. Mine sure can't. And Patrick Lawler knew he had a toothache, he just didn't know why. It took a dentist to pinpoint the problem. The problem was a 4-inch nail. Lawler had unknowingly fired it into his skull 6 days earlier. How do you unknowingly fire a 4-inch nail into your skull?
Yeah, that's kind of hard to do, isn't it?
Yeah, what happened was a nail gun apparently backfired while Lawler was doing construction work in Colorado. His sister says one nail landed in a piece of wood and Lawler didn't notice that a second nail had shot through his mouth. Ouch. 23-year-old is recovering today at a Denver area hospital after a 4-hour operation. His family says the nail had plunged more than an inch into his brain, barely missing his right eye. Lawler has no medical insurance, and hospital bills are expected to climb past $80,000, but doctors are calling him one lucky guy, and his family says he's in good spirits. Wow. And coming soon to a talk radio station near you, not this particular one. I'll dispel all the rumors right now. This guy is not coming to AM 540, but Jerry Springer has been a politician on television and as a news anchorman. He's been a politician, a news anchorman, and the host of his own raunchy TV show, and he's done pretty well at that TV show business. Now he's returning to the city where he served as a mayor to be its radio talk show host. The 60-year-old Springer says he's excited about returning to Cincinnati and challenging conservatives with a politically driven show. Oh, he's going to liberal talk radio. How about that? Springer's 3-hour show will air weekday mornings on WCKY AM beginning this week. He'll broadcast from Cincinnati 3 days a week and do the other days from Chicago where he tapes his TV show. I didn't know they were still taping Jerry Springer.
I didn't either. I thought
they were all reruns.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, some think the show may be a springboard for the Democrat to return to political office, but a spokesman for the Ohio Republican Party says more airtime Springer gets, the less likely it is that someone will vote to elect him to public office. How about that? Could you see Springer in 08? Nobody else is really qualified to run in 08. They're talking Hillary Clinton now, throwing her into the mix. So why not get Jerry Springer?
There's a lot of reasons why to not get Jerry Springer.
He's already got the chant. Jerry. He's got the chant.
And so, we know he's tough because he can break up all the interesting fights that happen.
He wouldn't need Secret Service. He's got his own security.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, before we go, police say Carol Rise denied that she'd been drinking alcohol, but she did admit to downing 3 glasses of Listerine mouthwash. She was busted in Michigan for drunken driving. Police say they tested Rise when she showed signs of intoxication after her car rear-ended another. According to police, Rise's blood alcohol level was more than 3 times the legal limit. Police say they'll also seek a warrant charging her with having an open container of booze in the vehicle. The booze is the bottle of Listerine.
She must really be concerned about her breath.
Wow. Original formula Listerine has nearly 27% alcohol, more than 4 times that of many malt liquors. I mean, I saw an episode of MythBusters where they tried to dispel the myth that you could actually get drunk off of Listerine, and they said you absolutely could not. But apparently this woman has found a way. I just think it's bizarre they're going to charge her with the open container of Listerine.
See, one of my science teachers, he told me about this a long time ago, that you could do that.
Wow. So word to the wise, close that bottle of Listerine and don't swallow it. All right, we're about out of time. I'm Brendan Spar.
I'm Brandon Ringo.
And we'll see you tomorrow here on Midday.